Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we come to the Bible today, I want to read verses 14 through 24 of this 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. We are at a very interesting juncture in this true and historic story, and we will see this, hear this, in our reading. So if you have access to the Word of God, please open to Genesis 14, beginning in verse 14. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hovah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. And now verse 17 of Genesis chapter 14. Then after his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed Abram and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." I have just read for us Genesis 14, verses 14 to 24, the end of the chapter. After verse 16 that we finished commenting on yesterday, we obviously have verse 17 in which the king of Sodom goes out to meet Abram. But then in verses 18 through 20, there appears to be an interruption in the story. A king named Melchizedek appears, seemingly out of nowhere, and he both speaks and does something of interest to us. We will get to that. Then, beginning again in verse 21, the king of Sodom continues to interact with Abram. You will see this clearly when you have a chance to read the text for yourself. Just before we get to verses 17 and following, I want to take advantage of this point in the passage to reflect on how wonderful it is to see, in Genesis 14, God getting the victory in the war of the kings. Bible readers often wonder why this chapter even exists in God's Word. I believe it is here for many reasons, some of which I have mentioned along the way. And to be sure, what we have understood again highlights the exalted status of our God. God is the victor. He uses Abram as his proxy to defeat the kings of the armies of the north under the leadership of the main king, Kedorlaomer. And this is how God gets Lot back onto the pages of our Bibles for several more chapters. This brings to my mind, at least, several scriptures of many that declare God the victorious. At the start, then, allow me to share these with you, and then we will go to verse 17 of Genesis 14. My hope is that you will join with me in worshiping God for who He is. To begin with, listen to Psalm chapter 33, verses 16 through 19. "The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33:16-19. Notice that the Lord is the one who delivers the soul from death. There are kings, there are mighty armies, there are warriors of great strength, there are horses. But you know something? None of these are the cause for the victory. God is. And speaking of horses, listen to Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31. This is Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. The horse, as powerful a weapon as that beast was in the war of the kings, the horse did not bring the victory. God did. And let us not forget what the young man David said to the giant Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I am reading David's words in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I love this, and how true are these words. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And sure enough, that giant fell to his death that very day. The battle was the Lord's in Genesis 14. And the armies of the northeast fell to Abram and his 318 men. Abram did not win the battle. God won the battle. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15, we read this. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Again, there is no need for the person of God to fear or be dismayed in battle, because the battle is not yours, but God's. God gets the victory every single time he is trusted to do so. I think these scriptures help us to worship God here at the end of verse 16 of Genesis 14. And I wanted to take a little time on this broadcast and podcast to feed you food for your own worship and exaltation of the Lord God. Set aside some time after you hear this and open the Bible to Psalm 33:16-19, Proverbs 21:31. 1 Samuel 17:45-47, and 2 Chronicles 20:15. Read these texts and use them to thank God for who he is. As we are about to find out, this is what Abram did. After the war, he gave all honor and glory to God. He took none of the glory for himself or his trained men or horses, swords or spears. Abram understood that God was with him, and that made all the difference. Therefore, it is no wonder why Abram responds the way he does to two kings when we get to verses 17 through 24. In verse 17, we meet the king of Sodom, and in verse 18, we meet the king of Salem. the king of Sodom and the king of Salem. The way Moses writes this, he sets it up that the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram, but then he yielded the way to Melchizedek, the king of Salem. So we do not find out about the purpose of the king of Sodom's visit until later at verses 22 through 24. Let's just take this as the text comes to us and note in Genesis 14, verse 17, that then after his return from the defeat of Kedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Let me tell you about where we believe this valley was. Traditionally, the location was in the area of Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem, in the Kidron Valley. The Kidron is technically a wadi where streams of water will flow after a heavy rain. But when there is no rain, it is dry. Lots of action in the Bible takes place in the Kidron Valley or the King's Valley. In 2 Samuel 18, verse 18, we read, "Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar, which is in the King's Valley. For he said, I have no son to preserve my name. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day." 2 Samuel 18, verse 18. Notice there, the King's Valley. And Jesus Christ in his lifetime crossed the Kidron Valley. For example, at the end of his earthly life, when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, listen to what John chapter 18 and verse 1 says. "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples." That's John chapter 18 and verse 1. So this is where the King's Valley was. Now tomorrow we will meet Melchizedek. I hope you will be with us for this and invite someone to join you, someone who may have wondered, who was Melchizedek? We'll find out beginning tomorrow on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.